you today, and we welcome you to Every Nation Tallahassee. And I want to thank all of you for praying for my wife, Renee. She is doing better. She's in the hospital. She had a procedure where she had to get her heart shocked. It's called a cardiac eversion, where it stimulates the heart to get into right rhythm. They call it sinus rhythm, which means it's beating right. So she's resting now. Appreciate your prayers, and thank you so much for standing with us, and that she's going to be out real soon. So we really appreciate that. I get the opportunity today to open up our Thanksgiving theme, hence the number or the month of November, where we celebrate Thanksgiving. And thinking about this, I said, Lord, I really don't want to give a traditional Thanksgiving sermon where we talk about eating turkey and dressing and pecan pie and all that. All those, I'm thankful for those things. I wanted it to be a little more substantive and really more pertinent to really what God requires from us as His people. And I felt like praise and worship was really a good prelude for us to go right into the sermon. And my prayer today is not that you will be entertained, not that you will learn some new information, although I hope you will, but that something will happen in your spirit, something will happen in your heart that will cause you to be thankful for where you're at and what you do have. We live in a culture that is so consumer-driven and consumer-oriented that you can have everything that you think you need in the next commercial you watch or in the next person you look at on Facebook. All of a sudden they have something or they've achieved something that makes you envious or discontented. Therefore, you leave this moment of thankfulness and thinking, I'm missing something. I'm lacking something. I don't have what somebody else has, so therefore, I'm less than. That is the culture we live in. And we're going to talk about that. Thankfulness, how to cultivate a grateful heart. How do we cultivate a heart, a way of thinking that is really thankful for what we do have? There's a story in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. Jesus is traveling. He's doing great things. He's healing the sick. He's multiplying loaves and fishes. I mean, Jesus is the hottest thing going. He goes up to this place called Samaria, which is in the northern part of Israel. And he goes there and he begins to preach. And while he was on his way to Jerusalem, back from Samaria, he was passing through Galilee and he entered a village with 10 leprous men who stood at a distance to meet him. And they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Son of David, Master, have mercy on us. Now, back in these days, leprosy was a plague. It was worse than COVID-12. You didn't have a mask. You had to stay away from people who were normal. And they had leper colonies where people who were afflicted, and it was a horrible disease because your very flesh would begin to decay and fall off your body. Your face would become distorted, and it was a horrible way to go. But if you were diagnosed with leprosy, you had to stay outside of the camp. You could not mingle. You couldn't go into the marketplace. So here's these 10 lepers. They hear Jesus is passing by. They begin screaming, saying, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw this, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, they were all cleansed of their leprosy. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face, giving thanks to him. Now there were 10 lepers. They were all in the same situation. They were all destined to be outcast. They were all destined to die a slow, arduous, horrible death with people who wouldn't even be able to attend their funeral service because they were afraid of getting infected by the same contagion. And all of a sudden, they see Jesus. There's hope. And Jesus says, go and do what Moses told you to do. Go and show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, they were all healed, every one of them. Praise God. What a wonderful testimony. And one of them fell on their face, giving thanks to Jesus. And he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. Now, what's so unique about a Samaritan versus a Hebrew? Well, it's very interesting because in the Old Testament, the Samaritans came about by a very tragic part of Israel's history. In 722 BC, the son of David, Solomon, gave birth to his son, Rehoboam, and Rehoboam rebelled against God and split the kingdom of Israel between two states. There became a northern state with the capital of Samaria. The southern state was Israel or Jerusalem, and that was called Judea. And so from this time forward, there was a separation. There was a division between the people of the north in Samaria who were from Hebrew origin and the people who were the true Israelis who worshiped in the south, and their home was in Jerusalem. And what happened, the Assyrians came in and overtook the northern kingdom and started interbreeding with the Jewish people, so they were mixed race. And these Hebrews who started marrying the Assyrians, which God told them not to do when he put them back into the land of Canaan, that do not practice the same things that the Canaanites practice, because they have child worship, they worship idols, they do all kind of blood sacrifices. He said, don't intermarry, because you will learn their ways and you will fall away from the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what happened? Rehoboam took that step, and sure enough, they started intermarrying the Assyrians, and we have the northern kingdom of Samaria and then the southern kingdom of Judea. And they're related, but they were outcast according to the Jewish people. So this one Samaritan who was an outcast, he was a half-breed, he was a reject, he was from the northern kingdom of Samaria. He came back and began giving thanks to Jesus for his healing. He was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 who were cleansed? But the 9, where are they? And his disciples says, no one was found who returned giving glory to God except this foreigner, a Samaritan. And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. What was the difference between these 10 lepers who were all in the same category and all needed a miracle and all got a miracle because they turned to go to the priest, yet only one came back to talk to God and talk to God, Jesus, and be thankful to him? It was because he had a gracious or thankful heart. Can I tell you what? We live in a culture that really feels entitled, really feels that we deserve something. And when we have that kind of feeling or that kind of overview of life, it can cause us to be thankless when God is blessing us left, right, and center. But here, God says, were there not 10? One came back, but this man has demonstrated a heart of gratitude. So how do we cultivate a heart of gratitude? How do you and I become thankful, not just around turkey and dressing and family? That's wonderful. But can I tell you what? There's 364 days of the year that we need to cultivate thankfulness in our hearts. What does the word cultivate mean? I'm glad you asked. It means to nourish. It means to give sustenance to. It means to bring assistance, to help, to flourish. So thankfulness doesn't happen just because we have a Thanksgiving holiday. It happens because we cultivate it. We nourish it. We give attention to it. You've got to make yourself not be entitled and not think, well, I deserve this. But hey, God, I'm thankful because I have this and I certainly don't deserve it. And we're going to talk more about that. What does it mean to be thankful? Our next slide. Thankfulness means to be conscious and appreciative or appreciate benefits that we've received. Instead of always reaching for something new in hopes it will make us happier or thinking that we can feel satisfied until all of our physical and emotional material needs are met. Can I tell you what? That's hard to do in our culture. That's hard to do in America. I've had the privilege to travel to about 45 different countries around the world. Can I tell you something? America has her problems, but America is the most prosperous place on the face of the earth. Trust me. We are blessed beyond measure. There are more goods. There are more people who are middle class but live like kings compared to other people in second and third world conditions. We are a blessed people. Yet it's amazing how many people are bellyaching or crying or feel like I'm missing out on the American dream or I'm entitled to this without any reciprocal work or any effort being given into it. This is the culture we live in, this materialistic culture that says I'm entitled to something. I deserve it simply because I'm an American or simply because I was born in this family. Can I tell you what? That is not so, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to talk about that. To be conscious and appreciate benefits you received. Can I tell you what? How many like sports? Anyone? Yeah. How many like Colorado? I like Colorado with Coach Prime. Some of you don't like him as much because they're losing that. But, you know, I like him. You know why? I like him because he was a great star. He had everything that money could buy. And you know what? I know he's a bit flamboyant and he's very confident. That's wonderful. But I got to tell you something. I like him because he is now a born-again Christian. Did you know that? You should hear his testimony. It's absolutely amazing. That's why I pull for him. You see, and I like his flamboyance. I like his confidence. And can I tell you what? He took over the Colorado Buffaloes this year. And can I tell you what? He's done really, really well. You know why? Because he's won 3 more games than they won all of last year. He has. He's tripled their win output. That's big. That's big. The year before he got there, they won 1 game. Everybody say one. When they started this season, they were ranked in the top 20 because they won 2 games, and it was exciting to see, and it was so wonderful to see how they're doing. Then they hit a buzzsaw, and they've lost 3 or 4 games, haven't they? Yeah. So the point is, why aren't you happy? Last year they won 1 game. This year they've already won 3. We should be rejoicing. But what do you know? They lost or everything. Or Miami lost. I talked to one of our friends here. Miami lost, you know. Either they're down. Well, there's always next year. Amen. There's always hope. Isn't that right, Frank? Amen. There's always hope. So what really makes you happy? What really gives you? What if Florida State wins everything? Next year, they're going to have to do it again. You're not going to be happy unless they do it again. Lock the door, men. Don't let them out. You know. So thankfulness is this thing we have to cultivate. It doesn't happen just because our team wins a game or we get a raise or we get an A on a class or something good happens. And thank God good things do happen, but that should not detract or add to this thing called happiness and gratitude that God says we should all have. What does it mean to be gracious or to have gratitude? The word gratitude is a Latin word, gratia. It's where we get the word graciousness, gratefulness, or to be thankful from. Gratitude helps people refocus on what they have instead of complaining about what they don't have. Let me say it again. Gratitude helps people refocus. Everyone say refocus. Refocus on what you already have instead of bellyaching and complaining about what somebody else has that you don't have yet. That's gratitude. As you guys know, I just told you, I took my wife to the hospital. We took her to the cardiac ward. Can I tell you what? I was so grateful because my wife is young and she's healthy and she has this little thing going on and they've got to adjust her meds and get her heart rate right, get her back in sinus rhythm. And we're talking about her heart, not her, you know, get her back. You know, once she gets back, she's going to be out ready to go. In fact, we took her out and we had to take her back because it was not staying in sinus rhythm. So now it is. But can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? I was so happy when I looked at her chart and talked to her doctor. And then I heard and saw these other people sitting there. They don't have that hope. They will never leave that hospital. Some of them, even a pacemaker or a heart transplant is not enough. Their heart is totally gone. It's totally diseased. There's no hope for them. Can I tell you what? I was a thankful man in Tallahassee Memorial Hospital, even though my wife was lying in a bed. Why? Because I had perspective of what we did have and what we don't want to have. And I'm trusting God he's going to heal her. But gratitude is we refocus on what we have. Well, I wish I was 6 foot four, could run a 4.4. Oh, no, I did too. Because you know what? There are very few people who have that kind of athletic prowess and that kind of God-given athletic ability. But you do have two legs, don't you? Yeah, you can walk. And some of you, when you run, you look like you're walking. But the point is, you can move. You might not run a 4.4, but you can run. Amen. And some of you, you're going to run to the Krispy Kremes. I know. I've seen you last time. So you thank God you can walk and run. Amen. The people who can't walk and run, they would give everything to have your legs and your mobility. Amen. Nudge the person next to you. Say, I think he's talking to you. Gratitude helps us refocus. I want you to refocus today, not what car you're not driving. I want you to thank God you have a car. Yeah. Amen. Don't be comparing yourself where you're getting into this. I'm going to get a little personal. Thank you very much. But don't focus on the things you don't have, because if you live there, you will never have enough. You will never own enough. You will never, your bank account will never be big enough. Your car will never be shiny enough. Your suit will never be new enough or in vogue enough. Somebody else is going to top you. Somebody else is going to have something that will cause you to be discontented. And that's why we need to cultivate a heart and refocus on gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 in the scripture says, see that no one repays one another for evil with evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Everything. My team lost, or this didn't happen, or I didn't plan on this, and I wish God had not allowed this to happen. He says, look, I'm a little smarter than you. In everything, give thanks that some things didn't work out the way you wanted them to. Let me ask you a question. How many here are glad God didn't answer all your prayers? Yeah. I know you're praying, oh, Lord, Roman, he's handsome. He's tall. Drives a nice car. It goes back to budget on Monday, but he drives a nice car. Oh, Lord, if he could just be in my life, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. You'd be walking back to Avis with him. Let me tell you, you need to thank God for some of the unanswered prayers you have. Because God was saying, I'm not going to answer that. You have no idea where you're going into a big, dark, black hole that you don't want to go into. And I'm going to save you the trouble by not answering that stupid, premature, selfish, entitled prayer. I think conviction just fell. Pray, God's will be done. I want your will, God, not my will. I want God in everything. Give thanks. I was stuck. I really had a difficult week this week. May I be honest with you? I prayed and I trust God. I had a tough week this week. My wife was in the hospital. A lot of things went wrong. I was just spinning many plates. But I was praying in the Word, keeping my faith. I had to cultivate this thing called faithfulness, because my circumstances did not look joyful or happy. It looked burdensome and discontented. And I remember I had to go get some medicine for my wife because the doctor said we're going to take her off these meds and put her on this medicine. I had to go to a particular place, and I thought, I'll pop in, I'll grab some milk and eggs, then I'll get the meds there at the pharmacy, and then I'll go home. Can I tell you what? I stayed there 2 hours trying to get medicine. Yeah, and 40 minutes of it was in the checkout line. Because there was a lady in front of me, an elderly lady who wore glasses, and she had these coupons that she was trying to get the coupons to match what she was buying. And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to be patient because I'm thinking, I got to preach on thankfulness. And I'm late already and I've been standing in this line. And she had this little deodorant and hand cream. And she was pulling out every coupon from every magazine, and the lady was very nice, and she said, ma'am, that's expired. Ma'am, that doesn't work for that product. Ma'am, this isn't the right. And she went through, and it was 15, 20 minutes. I'm sitting there, and I felt like I want to pay for it, so she'll just go. Here, I'll give you $10. Just take it and go. Here's the coupon. Go. And I was sitting there, and everything in me wanted to say, what's wrong with you, woman? Don't you know? I've got to get this medicine back to my wife and take care of her. Don't you realize I've got many important things to do? Here you are worried about a coupon for $2.99. And I'm not exaggerating. But the Lord said, I want you to be quiet. Don't say anything. That's hard for me. He said, don't say a word. And you know, I stayed there for 20 minutes watching this lady, bless her heart, who didn't quite understand what she was trying to do. And I remember the checkout clerk. She was getting frustrated, but she was very professional. And I remember after she left, I went and I had a milk, eggs, and some bananas. And I waited in line for 40 minutes. And I said, you know what? I want to thank you for being so gracious to that person. She goes, yo. She says, he was easy compared to what I normally get. On Friday, you know, she wanted to start telling me everything. But all of a sudden, I remember, instead of making this a point of discontent and anger and bitterness and someone's messed with my schedule, I said, God, I'm thankful that I can buy medicine that can help my wife recover. There are some places you can't even buy medicine to get people that you love and care about back on their feet. In everything, give thanks. Everything. There are things where you think, oh, this is messing me up. There's a reason why God says cultivate a heart of gratitude. Have thankfulness. Be like the Samaritan who was an outcast. He didn't even associate with the other Hebrew lepers because he was a Samaritan. Yet he came back with a heart of thankfulness. And God said, I will honor that. I will honor that. God wants you to cultivate not a heart when you get what you think you need, but a heart of thankfulness and gratitude when you have what you still have. And saying, God, you're smarter than me. Your provision is coming, and I'm trusting it, but I am going to cultivate gratitude. I'm going to cultivate faithfulness. Amen. In everything, give thanks. Ephesians 5, 18 and 20. And do not get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what we did today. We were singing psalms and hymns. Wasn't that wonderful? Wasn't the Spirit of God here? It was tangible. In fact, I didn't want you guys to stop, Corey and Diana, because it was so beautiful. And just all the stuff we were singing, God, you're more than enough. You're more than enough. I want you to remember that when you leave here, when things don't go your way. God, you're more than enough. I don't have any money, but you're more than enough. You're all I need. I don't have a car. I didn't make the grade. I didn't make the team. I didn't get accepted. My friends rejected me, but you are more than enough. You're more than enough. Giving thanks in everything. Do not get drunk, but speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart. Have you ever tried to be around somebody who is in a good mood and singing, and you tried to rain on their parade? Have you ever been around people like that? It's hard. Well, I had a guy, some of you know him, his name's Bob Perry. He was the most positive person in the world. He's still a minister. Some of you know him. He's a prayer warrior. He travels around the nation. And I remember he is so happy and so full of life. Even when things are depressing and bad, he's got a smile on his face. It's irritating. Why can't you be discontented and angry like I am? You know, why can't you be upset with your situation like I am? Why are you smiling all the time? You know what smiles do? Smile actually, some of you, smiling is good for you. Some of you need to try it sometimes. It actually produces endorphins in your body. Everyone try smiling. Just smile. Some of you need to work on it. Come on. Come on, smile. Look to somebody and say, good morning. It's good to see you. Say it with a smile on your face. Now you say back, good to see you too. Now, whether you know it or not, endorphin and oxytocin levels in your body just went up a little bit. You know why? Because when you smile, you release certain hormones that make you feel better. Yeah. Smiling. Always giving thanks. Always giving thanks. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for God the Father. Even in your lowest moment, there's something to be thankful for. Even in your most difficult trial, ladies and gentlemen, there's something you can be thankful for. And can I tell you what? Your thankful heart may be the thing that gets you out of the dungeon, gets you out of the pit, gets you out of the dilemma that you fell in. A grateful heart, a thankful heart, a heart that looks to God and says, God, you're not ignorant of what I'm going through, but there's a reason why I'm here, and I'm going to thank you in the midst of this difficulty. I'm going to thank you in the midst of this hardship. I'm going to thank you when the sun is shining. I'm going to thank you when it's raining. Why? Because you're still God. You're more than enough. You're more than enough. Anyway, this guy, Bob Perry, he was inflappable. Just always smiling. And I remember sometimes one guy told me, he said, you know, he's so positive, he could find something good to say about the devil himself. And I told him that, and he goes, well, at least the devil is consistent. Bad joke. But he was that kind of personality. Always positive, always happy. People like him. He's kind of like Nelson. If you don't like Nelson, Vincent, something's wrong with you. Hey, with or without his perfume, he's likable. Bob Perry, he was a white Nelson Vincent. So, but he didn't have the good of fro as Nelson. But we've met people like that, haven't we, who are positive, who make us feel good even when things are down. That's what God wants you to be. That's what God wants me to be. Why we're looking at what we have, not what we don't have or what we think we need. Amen. Let me talk to you really in the moments we have left together about the real enemies of our gratitude. What are the real enemies of us being a thankful people? Number one, materialism. It's the accumulation of things and more things that somehow, if we have these things, we will find this thing called happiness or joy. If that were the case, ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something? The people who had the most things would be the happiest people in the world. In most cases, it's just the opposite. Listen to me. I've talked to people who are very wealthy, who are famous, people who are professional athletes, people who worked in the movie industry. I've had a chance to pray with them and minister to them. I can tell you this. Some of these people who most of the world would want to emulate and want to stand in their shoes, in the silence of their own heart, in their own loneliness, they would say, look, I can really understand why people commit suicide. What are you talking about, suicide? You got money in the bank? You can't even go in public without someone wanting your autograph? And you're talking about ending it up? What's wrong with you? You've got houses on the East and West Coast. You can go anywhere. People, I thought this is what you... Empty. Empty. See, real thankfulness is when we have a relationship with the purpose and the meaning and the benefactor of life. His name is God. It's not a new car or a new girlfriend or a new house. Those are things that are wonderful. And it's not wrong to own those things. It's wrong for those things to own you. And that's the problem with materialism. That's the problem, is those things don't belong to you anymore. You belong to them. I had to do a funeral last week and flew back in from Michigan and had to fly back to Nashville, Tennessee. And we lived in Nashville. And this guy who I did the funeral for participated in the service. He was a missionary with us to New Zealand and Australia. Bright, brilliant young man. Had everything going for him. Charisma. Everyone loved him. Great speaker. Talent. Everything you would ever want. His life ended suddenly at the age of 54. We're at this funeral in Brentwood, Tennessee, where we lived. The children were small. We lived in Sutherland Place there in Brentwood. And I remember I said, honey, let's just drive by our old houses where we lived at. So we went to 217 Freedom Drive where the duck pond was. And we took pictures of it, sent it to the kids, just reminiscing. It was wonderful. Then we went by our new home that we'd built in Brentwood on Sutherland Place. And I'd forgotten how big it was. And I thought, golly, this is a pretty big house. But what was amazing, we drove back further behind there, and they had developed other homes that made our house look like a cottage. I'm talking about 12,000 square feet. 12,000 square feet. Now, we lived in a 6,000 square foot home, which was big enough for us. I mean, we could have, it was fun playing hide and seek back then when you were a kid, because there was a lot of places to hide. And I'm going by and I said, man, this 6,000, this is beautiful. And, you know, I thought, golly. And then I drove back and saw these mega homes, 12,000, 10,000. I thought, this is nuts. I mean, you could put a village in here. This is crazy. And I remember driving around Brentwood and I was just overwhelmed with the materialism. Beautiful homes and cars and it was just overwhelming. And I thought, God, I don't want to live here. I don't need a 6,000 square foot house to be happy with you. I don't need a new car. I don't need to live in the richest county in the state of Tennessee to be prominent and have status. I've got you. And I remember I told Renee, I said, honey, I'm so glad we went on the mission field. We sold our house, gave away one of our cars to go and do God's work. Why? We were happy there because we had a relationship with God and there was a heart of thanksgiving because we were doing what God had purposed us to do. Every one of you, whether you like it or not, you're looking for your purpose in life. And your purpose in life is to know God and do what he put you on the earth to do. And part of it is to be thankful that he loves you and he's in your life right now. If you can hear my voice, you're here for a purpose. You're here for a purpose. What most people are doing outside these four walls, they're trying to find purpose. God has made you for a purpose. And when you find your purpose, that's when you can cultivate this thing we're talking about, gratitude, thankfulness. Always giving thanks in all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Materialism. The second enemy to our gratitude, to developing thankfulness, is entitlement. Entitlement. Everyone say that with me, please. You know what that means? That means I'm owed something. You owe me something. You are obliged to do something for me. Can I tell you what? If you have that mentality, it's called a victim mentality, you will have a chip on your shoulder and you will be discontented and disgruntled at the whole world. We're not entitled. You know what? I came into this world without a stitch of clothes on. When I leave, all the stuff I've accumulated, the cars, the books, the money, I'm going to leave the same way I came in. The things we have, we're not guaranteed that we could have. God has blessed us. He's given us these things that we didn't deserve and we certainly couldn't get without him. Entitlement is an enemy to thankfulness. Well, I deserve this. Why don't they let me do this? And, you know, why can't I do this? And why didn't I get this scholarship? And why didn't they let me do that solo on Christmas? And, you know, if you have that kind of mentality, you are going to be discontented and angry with the world. And it's not very becoming, and it certainly doesn't induce people to like you and be your friends. But a thankful heart, a heart of gratitude, is just the opposite. Entitlement. A society that feels entitled to what it has can never express gratitude. If I've done it myself, I've had people say, I don't need other people. I don't need God. I'll do it on my own. Are you kidding me? You don't need other people. How did you get here? Somebody paved the road that you drove on, sweetheart. Somebody built the car you rode. Somebody pumped the gas that the petrol you put in your fuel tank. You couldn't get here without other people. Thank God somebody built this building. Thank God somebody vacuumed it. Somebody else made it possible for us to come and enjoy a wonderful service in a convenient, comfortable venue because other people sacrificed so you and I could enjoy the fruits of their labor. Amen. We all need people. If we feel entitled, can I say, we'll never be thankful. I deserve this. I deserve that. You know, it's like kids. I've got a 2-year-old granddaughter. She's adorable. She talks better than I do. She's amazing. Her vocabulary is amazing. The other day she was leaving and she just said, I appreciate it. Now, that was a 2-year-old. I appreciate it. She's just mimicking stuff. I appreciate it. Okay, I appreciate you too. What does that mean? I appreciate it. But she's using big words like that. But I can tell you what, she's also a very selfish little being. And when you give her something, she'll say, Papa, she calls me Papa. She goes, Papa, I want a popsicle. Popsicle. And she'll stay on it. It's like a broken record. Popsicle, pop. What's a record? Google it. Popsicle, popsicle. And so sometimes I can't give her the popsicle or I can't give her what she wants because can I tell you what? All those things that we want don't necessarily qualify for things that we need to make us people of happiness and joy. Comparison. That our next enemy to thanksgiving or being in gratitude, comparison. How many of us have been happy and all of a sudden you see somebody else at the gym and you think, man, I'm a fat, ugly fool. You say, I'm not going. Why did I come here in the first place? I mean, you're comparing yourself to others. Thinking, what in the world have I done? Why did I let myself go? You know? And all of a sudden you feel you're comparing yourself to somebody who's 22 years old. You know? So you can't do that, but we do it all the time. We look at the magazine. We look at selfies on people. You know, I wish I had time to talk about that, but can I tell you what? You do yourself a favor and realize those selfie people, they're photogenically enhanced. They've done all kinds. It's not realistic. You see? They had tummy tucks, face tucks, lip tucks, you know, pedicures, manicures, headicures, whatever else. They've had every cure. Try to look good. It's not real. So don't compare yourself to them. Don't say, well, if I were just like this or if I were just like that. Comparison is self-imposed competition by critiquing others and comparing it back to yourself. Don't do that. You're unique. And God made you beautiful. Now, if you carry a couple of pounds, you better pray. But the point is, God made you the way you are. God made you beautiful, and God made you not to be comparing yourself to others. You understand what I'm saying? Anybody here, don't raise your hand. Anybody here ever compared yourself to somebody else who you think is more pretty or more handsome or more? Okay, stop doing it. I remember one time I was in college. I remember I was talking to this guy, and he was a captain of the football team, and I remember we had been doing stuff we shouldn't be doing, and we were a bit inebriated. It's before I was a Christian. And I told him, I said, so-and-so, I said, you know, you're a popular, great athlete. Everyone likes you. All the girls think you're handsome, blah, blah, blah. And I really, really admire you. And I really, deep in my heart, I really wanted to be like you. Dead silence. You know what he said? He said, Ken, I've always wanted to be like you. I've admired you. And I thought, golly. here I'm comparing myself to a comparer, and we're both insufficient because we're comparing what we think we should have with what we already have. Let's don't do that, ladies and gentlemen. You are made beautiful and unique and talented. God's put you here for a purpose, and he's made you the way he has, and he's formed you the way he has. Cultivate a heart of gratitude. Cultivate a thankful spirit. The next one is narcissism. What is narcissism? It's a preoccupation with self. The ancient Greeks, they had a legend that there was a handsome young prince named Narcissus, and he was going to be married to a young maiden in another territory. Her name was Echo. And going to see his sweet princess to be married and wed, he came upon a pool because he was thirsty. And in the pool, he looked out and saw his own reflection. And Narcissus, because he saw the beauty of his features and he saw the handsome character looking back at him from this pool, could not take his eyes off the pool. And he stayed fixated on the pool for the rest of his life. And his maiden, the princess waiting for him, Echo, because she saw he was fixated on himself, looking in his reflection, she began crying out to Narcissus, crying out to the point where she died. But the echo of her voice went into eternity, and he can still hear it while he looks into the pool. That's where we get the term echo. Narcissus was self-absorbed. There was a beautiful maiden. There was a whole life waiting for him. But he got enamored. He got fixated with something that was exaggerated and blown out of proportion, himself. You know what your biggest problem is? It's not your lack of money. It's not your car. It's not the friends you have or don't have. You know what your problem is? The person you look at in the mirror every morning is your biggest threat to your happiness. Self. Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, you got to go to church on Sunday, read your Bible, tithe, get a new suit. No, no, no. If anyone wants to come after me, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if you want to come after me, deny yourself. Deny yourself. The problem is not the world. It's me. It's you. And when we look at things and say, I'm not enough, or God, you're not enough, we're on this quest to fill this void with something that can never be filled except with the Creator, the one who gave us purpose, God Almighty. Deny yourself. He who loses his life will find what true life is all about. He who seeks to gain his life, you'll lose your life. It's counterproductive. It's like, whoa. It's counterintuitive. You mean, if I really want to find life, I give it away? I serve people, I help people instead of letting them serve me or making them. Yeah, that's exactly right. You want to be great? Be least. You want to be mighty? Serve. You want to have friends? Esteem other people more important than yourself. You'll have more friends. Esteem other people more important than yourself. Try it. It's hard. Because we're self-absorbed. We are selfish. It's expressive individualism. Be yourself. Be who you are. No, no, no. Don't be who you are. Be who God has created you to be and give yourself away. That's the gospel. It's not find yourself. It's lose yourself. Lose yourself in God. Say, God, you are more than enough the way we sang. You're more than enough. I'm not happy, God. I have this fake joy, and it comes and goes, but I'm really not content. I'm discontented. I'm angry. I'm envious. I'm jealous of other people because they have something that I think I need. God, I don't want that. What I really need is you. What I really need is a relationship with the God who is more than enough, who can fill all my desires, not because those are the things I desire, but because he loves me like a loving father, but he wants me to make him the priority. Narcissist was self-absorbed. He could only think about himself. He could only spend time on his iPhone. He could only spend time on YouTube looking at stuff about himself or looking how many likes or how many people are following him. It's all around us, ladies and gentlemen. You know why you're happy, not happy? It's because you haven't gone to the source of true happiness. It's not self. It's God Almighty. Thankfulness only occurs, listen to this, thankfulness only occurs when we become other conscious. There's something about, if I think about me all the time, I'll become discontented and envious and angry and upset. But if I think about others and, God, how can I help these people? And Lord, how can I serve these people? And how can I be, put down myself and elevate them? It doesn't matter if they deserve it or not, God. It's what do you want me to do to cultivate a thankful heart? Because I have the opportunity to be gracious and have grace because I can extend it because I feel it from you. I'm thankful, God, you saved me. We left Brentwood, Tennessee, my wife and I. You know what I said? I'm thankful. I don't live in this materialistic culture. I don't want a big house. I don't want to live with all these people and hobnob with all these up and advancing people in the sense that somehow it gives me status. God, you're more than enough. And we got on the plane and we came back here to our little 2,000 square foot home rejoicing and happy. You know why? Because we got a greater joy. It's knowing that God has put us here. And knowing him and cultivating a thankful heart towards that will fulfill our lives to the nth degree. And if you'll do that, God will fill you. God will give you a thankful heart. He will give you grace, gratia. He'll give you a heart of gratitude because you see, he is really what you're looking for. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. Lord, I thank you that it's so clear that we need to empty ourselves and, Lord, focus on you. We need to think about having a gracious heart and having a spirit of thankfulness. And, Lord, I pray for every person here today and everyone's viewing online that there would just be a spirit of thanksgiving back to God for what he's done. We don't understand how you've done all this and why you've done it, but God, we are thankful for it. So Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. And Father, I pray that you would touch every heart, that during this season, that we would cultivate a thankful heart. With your heads down, your eyes closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor Ken, this word was for me, and I need to cultivate a thankful heart. I need to cultivate a thankful heart. Gracious spirit. If that's you, raise your hand up high. Just raise it up high. Yes. You can put it down. Lord, all these hands that went up, I just pray right now that particularly during this season, we would think about others. We would cultivate thanksgiving. We wouldn't look at what we don't have. We would look at what we do have and give you thanks and praise because of that. Lord, I pray that by the spirit of grace that you would cause us to be more like you. We would serve. We would put ourselves off the throne and start putting other people in front of us the way you said we should. But most of all, Lord, I pray that we would be completely contented and satisfied with you and you alone. If we don't have a house, we don't have a car, but you and you alone, you are more than enough. You're more than enough. And I'm sorry for thinking I needed other things rather than you. I don't want to be entitled. I don't want to compare. I don't want to feel like somehow I'm missing out or be angry or envious. But Lord, I want to be content and I want to have a thankful spirit because you have blessed me. You've given me things that other people would die for and somehow I've neglected them. I've overlooked them. I've taken them for granted. No more. So Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for every heart. And I pray that we would be of people who show thanksgiving and cultivate a gracious heart. Would you all stand with me, please? Lord, I just pronounce a blessing over everyone. Let us go out and be a living example of what we've heard today. Let us be a gracious people and cultivate grace, not just in our own family, but to everyone we come in contact with. And we give you praise and we give you glory and we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all of God's people said amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. And if you need prayer, please come forward. Our prayer team will be up to pray for you. Otherwise, God bless you. Enjoy the donuts and the sweets.